All right, Galatians chapter 5. That's one we have been reading, and that's the main text for our preaching this season. We are talking about walking in the Spirit and what it means. You know, let me just, before we read it, review this again. You know, I was listening, I got a tweet from Rick Warren. Yes, Rick Warren. He says something that you shouldn't fight the works of the flesh, that you can't, that what you do is to replace them, that you don't spend your energy trying to overcome some negative tendencies inside you. You just totally replace them. That is, it's not how do I moderate this, how do I reduce this. Say, no, just take your eyes away from it and fill your heart with something else. When I read that during the week, I said, this is just exactly what we have been trying to teach here concerning how to walk in the manner that is pleasing to God. Now, let's just read that Galatians chapter 5 again so as to get our foundation correct. We'll start from verse 16. It said, but I say walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Please notice that verse 18. First, verse 16 says, if you walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, the same thing. And that says in verse 18, that if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He said, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, I emphasized this last time, though we ended up not teaching about it in detail, that he said the fruit of the Spirit is, not are. This fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, he says, there is no law. He said, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by that same Spirit. Now, please quickly go down to just a few verses further down in chapter 6. I want to read from verse 6. He said, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Now, having made a statement, he was not trying to teach a particular principle of life. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, please notice this, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, verse 10 says, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And there's a reason why I read this, and let me quickly explain that reason, and then we'll continue our teaching. Now there's a principle here in this Galatians chapter 6. It was describing the fact that life has different force fields. And when I say force fields, now what I mean is this simply. It means that, for example, in the physical earth now, there is water. Are you getting my point? And there is earth. There is soil. Are you getting me? Now, in the same manner, if you look at it on a bigger scale, now let me just be like this. There are things you can put in water and they will thrive. All right? And there are things you put in the soil and they thrive. In the same manner, when you want to sow your seeds in life, spiritually speaking, there is a way you sow your seeds that it will be said that you sowed into the Spirit. And there's a way you will do things, and you'll be said that you sowed into the flesh. That is, if you look on the spiritual scale, there are two ways you can sow your seeds. You can sow into the spirit, or you can sow into the flesh. Now, please bear that in mind. It's very important. And that's why I've been saying this again and again. You will see that when people say that if you want to receive, give. I said, you know, I've said to you again and again, Christians, we are givers. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
But I disagree with the fact that when I want to get something, I will first put out like that. The reason is because when you do that, you are giving to yourself, and the Bible says you are sowing to your own flesh. You are not sowing to the Spirit. In sowing to the Spirit, you will see it there. It says it has to be that you are doing good. You must understand that point. That is the spiritual substance behind what you are sowing is what God counts. Very, very important. Now, please hear that principle in mind. That is, when you are doing things in life, it can be that you are sowing to your flesh or you are sowing to your spirit. Your flesh now being a force field from which something will come back to you. And it says that if you are sowing to your flesh, from that flesh you will reap corruption. What it means, you will reap disappointment. What it means that you will reap decay. The things that you are expecting to come back to you multiplied, they will not come back at all. If they do come back, they will come back and bring problems into your life. That's what he was trying to explain. So as Christians, he said, therefore, let us be careful that whatever we are doing, we are sowing to the Spirit. And let me say this to you. Everything you do in life is a seed. You know, I said to you before that, you know, the way we talk, anytime you hear the word seed in today's Christianity, we immediately think about money. But it's not just about money. Everything you do in life is a seed. The way you know, maybe you refuse to take a phone call, it's a seed. The kind of person you are calling is a seed. The kind of, the way you react, maybe you are owing somebody money you are supposed to pay and you refuse to pay, it's a seed. If you pay, it's a seed. Now, please get my point. When you wake up in the morning and go to the office, it's a seed. When you get to your office and you are walking, it's a seed. When you kneel down to pray, it is a seed. Please get what I'm going to say very, very carefully, all right? Follow it. Everything you are doing in life is a seed. When you are talking to somebody, it's a seed. If I'm preaching as I'm preaching right now, it's a seed. You are sitting down there listening to me, it is a seed. You know, I know in Christianity today, we emphasize money a lot as a seed. But let me say to you, just one of those seeds. It's just one of those things. There are many other things. That's why some people, they say, okay, I want to be rich, so they give. But that's the only kind of seed that they are putting their hand into. There are many other seeds that they are only sowing corruptly, which it brings back for them corruption. It's not helping them. They don't realize that everything you do in life is a seed. You know, one of the ones that, maybe because of my own experience in life and all of that, is that I've seen it very, very common in today's Christianity. People, you see a man, he's a boss. He works, people work for him. He has employees. And then he does not pay salaries on time, even though he could afford to do that. But he will never, ever refuse to sow a seed in church. Giving in church, is it good? Very, very important. Very, very important. We must never neglect that. But then, the Bible never said that if you forget to give in church during service, you will be punished. But say if you refuse to pay your staff on time, you are in trouble. There's an express word of God like that. Now, please follow what I'm going to say. We don't realize everything we do in life is a seed. Every single thing. The way you relate with your father is a seed. The way you relate with your children is a seed. Please bear that in mind. There's a principle that governs life. It says seed time and harvest will not cease. So every time in your life, in certain areas, you're in seed time. In certain areas, you're in the season of harvest. And the season of harvest, let me say something to you. You can never, ever, by prayer, bring into your life that which you did not put in there during the time of seed. That's if you're in a season of harvest in a particular area. Don't ever forget that. That's how life is. Everything is a seed. And in different aspects of your life, there are times you are in a seed area in an area, and then you are in harvest area in another. In harvest season in another area. And that is just the way Christianity is. Now, back to the main thing we are talking about. Now, if you remember on Tuesday, there's something we have been saying. As a child of God, you are not under the influence of the devil. It is very important you understand that. You don't need to wake up at night fighting witches. They cannot do anything to you. In Christ Jesus, you are free and you are properly free. Satan does not have power over your life. He does not have power over your life. He doesn't have it. Now, what you need to do is to keep yourself from the place where he has power. When Balaam was facing, trying to curse the people of Israel, he made it clear himself that it will not work unless they offend their God and thereby take themselves away from where the power of God is protecting them. Therefore, we have been talking about prayer and personal purification in the last few Tuesdays to explain to us how we use prayer to keep ourselves under the shadow of the Almighty. How we use prayer to keep ourselves in the place where the blessing of God will continually be upon us. I've been talking about that. But in this our series, Walk in the Spirit, what I've been trying to explain is the fact that grace is what we need in life to overcome all this. Let me just use the words of Paul. Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That is, the flesh has desires. And anyone fulfilling the desires of the flesh, listen to this, is working herself out of the kingdom of God. Very important you understand this. Let me explain what the kingdom of God is again. The kingdom of God, I've seen people say it, you know, they say like, when you get to heaven. Kingdom of God and heaven are two different things. What did I say? They are two different things. I'm not talking about heaven now or hell. But kingdom of God and heaven are two different things. How do I know? Jesus Christ came down and said, the kingdom of God is near you. It wasn't heaven he was talking about. He said to them, if I by the finger of God cast out demons, that means the kingdom of God is upon you. All right? Listen to this. The kingdom of God can be established on the earth. In fact, the purpose of God is that his kingdom might be established on the earth. And there are two sides to it. Number one, there is an establishing of the kingdom of God in your own personal life. It's not just establishing it in the society around. That is also possible. But the first one that God is going for is to have the kingdom of God established in your personal life. And that is what God's purpose for your life currently is. It is not about dying and going to heaven. I said to you before, Christians don't go to hell. What did I say? I've heard people say that they died and they dreamt. Or is it they died and dreamt? No, do you die and or whatever? No, they died and went to hell. And they saw people in hellfire. Why? Because they had braids. So women started cutting off their braids. It's raining right now. Some said because the women were wearing jewelry, so they removed all their necklaces. Some said it is because, what else did they say? In fact, one said that she went to heaven and did not see many women. That for every 1,000 men, she would see one woman. And she asked, what happened? He says, because they used to go to hairdresser. And it's very funny because I know men commit adultery more than women. Adultery didn't send them to hellfire. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. That is, God is more concerned about who went to hairdresser than who went to his neighbor's wife. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Now, that's a joke. What did I call it? Don't believe it. It's around nonsense. Those people, they had bad dreams. They didn't go to any hellfire. They didn't go to any hell. They had bad dreams. That's all. Some of them are frank lying. Total lying. That is, they woke up in the morning and they said, let me lie. They sat down and concocted. You don't know human beings. You don't know people. I heard the story once of a man who said that he's going to pretend as if he was raised from the dead. I don't want to give you details. It'll shock you. A big evangelist was coming to Nigeria. I said, I'm going to follow that man back to America. So when the man is doing crusade, I'm going to say, I died and I woke up again. And of course, when he dies and he wakes up, he starts seeing things. And they always see popular people in hell. They will never see obscure people. Who do they see in hell? It's always Michael Jackson, Sonny Abacha. Those are the people they only see in hell. They don't, there are things you just say, this is a fat lie. It's a fat lie. Why didn't you see Jezebel in hell? Eh? All those sinners you saw in the Bible, why are they not in hellfire? Ahab should be in hell. What do you think? Please, you must understand what I want to explain. People just come and try to be confused, try confusing people as if, as if they are trying to do righteousness. It's pure confusion. Not naming pop, it's always musicians, actors and actresses, and bad government officials, bad presidents. You see, you go to hell and see people who, the Lord is good. Listen, don't believe them. What did I say? If you want to know anything about hell and heaven, read your Bible. What did I say? Read your Bible. What did I say? Read your Bible. You know, I was preaching somewhere a few days ago. I said, in fact, that day, before I mounted the pulpit, I said, my message today is titled, Assurance of Heaven. And what do I mean? Let's quickly read this. It will help you. The book of John chapter 1 and John chapter 3. Let's just quickly read it. It will help. Also, that in case some people are hearing this and wondering. We know verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now, verse 18 says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. He said, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Now, please note that. Now, quickly open further down, John chapter 5. It's 3 and 5, I want to say. You see what he says here in verse 20, from verse 21. He says, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. Not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Now, please go to verse 24. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Please, very important you note that. It says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now, please look up from your Bibles. Why did I read this? I want us to understand something. Let nobody go around scaring you whether you will go to hell. Oh, somebody sent me a message the other day. Say, please, I want to know about this trouser and makeup thing because I want to make heaven. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Right now, I don't want to delve into that. You know, there are things, normally I don't even bother answering such things. I don't have time to waste. But I started answering because I realized that people actually don't know. And they want to know because somebody has come to confuse them. Are you getting my point? Like I said to you earlier, where did you read in your Bible? You understand? That God sent anybody in the whole scriptures. Now, please, you must understand. Oh, God, I'm getting distracted from what I want to preach today now. Let me try my best to just stay focused. Where did you read that God sent anybody, Jesus was speaking, into eternal damnation? Not the parables, because they didn't like the clothes they were wearing. Listen, let me tell you something. God will not ever, ever send you to hellfire because of what you put on. If you like, now say this, some of you will get angry, but that's your problem, not my own. If you like, dress like a harlot. You know how much I hate stupid dressing? You know, I think every man that sags his trousers should be flogged. We shouldn't send him to hell. We should flog him on the earth. We should send you to Islamic people to teach you a lesson. That is, a man sag his trousers. I believe that Christians must be decent in dressing. You shouldn't go on the road. I won't know whether you're an ashewo or you're a decent human being. I think it's crazy. The door is open. Every ashewo can come to church. Praise the Lord. But when they come to church, you should give their lives to Christ. Now, so I believe, look, listen. There's what the Bible calls the attire of a harlot. Now, having said that, God never sends an ashewo to hell because of her clothes. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Now, having said that, God will now come and say, angels, go there. Anybody badly dressed, put them in hellfire. That is unnecessary. Look, listen, I know you are trying to do good. You are trying to help people. But let's stop fooling ourselves. God never comes out and starts. The Bible says that God does not look on the outside. How does he look? Looks at your heart. There are Jezebels that dress like reverend sisters. You know that. They are wicked. They are wicked people. But when you see their clothes, you think they are coming from a convent. Now, please, you must balance what I'm trying to explain. I am not saying, you're not saying, hey, as long as you say, hey, I won't go to hell for this. You on earth, you will suffer. I don't know whether you get my point. You see, people, that's what people don't realize. They'll now start telling me that, please, I want to make heaven. Forget it. You are not going to hell. Now, I'm going to explain this. Oh, God, why am I talking about this now? I don't even know. This is not my message for today. Oh, God. I just need to clarify something for a few people. There are things, let me give an example now. They will say, all cigarette smokers are going to hellfire. It's a lie. Drug users are not even going to hellfire. God will not send you to hell because you're on cocaine. I hope you know that. But you will suffer on this earth. You will suffer so bad you wish you never took it one day. Listen, I'm a doctor. Most people on cocaine are in trouble. They are not sinning. I don't know whether you get my point. They need help. Talk to any man who has been on heroin for a while. If you tell him, listen, give me all you have, I'll deliver you from this. He will give it to you. He's looking for help. God is not going to send him to hell because of looking for help. He may have made his mistake some years ago when he went into that path. Are you getting my point? But right now, he's a sick man. I tell him that if you have cancer, you go to hell. No. Cancer is suffering. What did I call it? Punishment of the flesh. You have been pummeled. You cry. That is how a drug user is suffering. Before you go around trying to tell a man who's smoking that is going to hell, better tell him there's deliverance where you are. That's what he needs to hear. Listen, I told you, in case you do not know, the truth is this, eh? You may not believe it, but I'm actually a doctor. You may not really believe it, because the way I talk sometimes. And I can say this to you assuredly. No man who has smoked more than 6 months likes smoking. None. They are addicted. They need deliverance. Other one you see is pretense. I just trying to show, like, boys will they enjoy. The guy knows that. In fact, when we were in school, one of my friends talked to one of our co-students. Said, you have to stop this thing. The guy said, if not only the money serve, I need to stop him. I don't know whether you hear what I said. The guy said, it's not about church going. This thing is costing me money. I have to break this habit. That is the man, that is what I'm going to bring up to you, all right? Is that the man wants to stop, but right now he's in trouble. God looks at the heart. Why does God send people to hellfire? Because they disobey what he told them. Because he said that this is light. Jesus is the light. But because their deeds were dark, they rejected Jesus and decided to continue their deeds of darkness. That way you will go to hellfire very fast. Very, very fast. Without remedy. Please follow what I'm going to explain. It's so important we understand this. I was teaching that was last weekend. I said, assurance of heaven. I said, the reason why Jesus will send you to hell is that God will send you to hell is because you heard the name Jesus and you rejected it. Or you came to church. Now, that's the point I was teaching the people there. Actually, there was a poster outside the church where we went to preach. And they quoted a man who said he saw visions of God. And he said 99% of Christians are going to hell. And I said to them, I believe him. Depending on how you count Christians. If you mean those who feel form, religion, Christianity, yes, that one I agree with. If you mean we go to church on Sunday and see congregation, and they say 99%, that one I can't believe it. I told my wife, maybe 99 is a bit tough for me to accept, but 90 I will gladly accept. I believe that one is based on facts. That one I will accept. 90% as of today, in Nigeria today. After all, they are going to count all those who go to T.B. Joshua's church as Christians too. You know. They will count those ones too now. All those who go to White Garment Church, they will count them also. All our churches, so Orthodox, so Pentecostal, all of them. You know, in Maiduguri the other day, there was one church, I won't tell you the denomination, not a very popular one down in the East. In fact, I've never seen any one of the churches in the East here. But in the West, there are plenty. JTF found about 50 bags of Indian hemp stored inside the church. That's what JTF... Now the pastor said, it was when congregation disappeared because of crisis. So it's temporary storage. JTF acted on the tip of, raided the place and found, maybe not 50, I got 24 or 50, somebody between 24 and 50 bags of wee-wee. Wee-wee. Inside the church. That one is not the church, you know. No, it's not. No, it's not. You know, I've told you before, you know, that, you see, in today's Christ, you know, before, when I was young, when you had problems, you went to shrine. You know, most people went to shrine. Not me, they didn't go to shrine. I'm just, most people went. But as days were advancing, people were growing. The shrines were no longer fashionable. So they went to church. So once I go to church, the babala went in the shrine, I found that, well, my customers have decided to wear nice clothes. So he too bought a jacket. He bought a suit and called the church Deliverance and Prayer Ministry International. The same problems they were carrying to the shrine, they now brought it to him. With the same attitude towards life, with the same lack of repentance in their souls, they carried it to the shrine. They carried it to the church, the way they used to go to shrine before. In which the man has a wife at home, but he has two or three girlfriends scattered in different places. He went to shrine like that. Now he comes to church like that, and somebody says to him, "It shall be well with you. Tomorrow you will get your breakthrough." And he becomes a member because they're always telling him he will get his breakthrough, but he never repented. So when you are counting Christians, you will count him too. So 99%, that man said they are going to hell. I believe that, okay, let me not scare you with 99. I believe 90. Yes, that one I believe. Personally, I believe. Now, not because of your trouser, women, or because of your cigarette, men. Those are two reasons God don't. That he doesn't look at those things when he's casting people into hellfire. Otherwise, Charles Spurgeon is in hell. Better get it right. What does it check? Have you really given your life to Christ? Are you getting my point? Did you come here because of what you are going to get? Which is a problem. They say, okay, if you want a husband, go to church. The pastor will pray for you. So the woman comes. She's not looking for God, though. She's looking for the prayer that produces children. He's not looking for God. He's looking for a breakthrough. Business has not been doing well. They say that pastor knows how to pray. So he comes to have his problem solved. He didn't come to repent of his iniquities. Of course, I'm not going to mention names. I'm not in the business right now of pointing fingers. It's not necessary. But I've seen churches where I am sure 99% are not Christians. They're not even pretending. You know, there are places where people are pretending. No, I'll tell it to you straight. There are people who go to church, all they are looking for is all the girls in church. And that's how they are sleeping with them. And they will join ushering department. They will join choir. They will join instrumentalists. They will learn to play. And if the pastor is stupid and foolish enough, or God blinds his eyes, he promotes them also. Thereby exposing the guy to more iniquity because he has given me authority. That is why God will send them to hellfire. Is a total disregard for God. Now, notice, not because he committed a sin, because Christians, 1 John chapter 1 tells us they can sin and they can be forgiven. But I'm saying this is a man who has not repented. He comes to that church and all is scanning them, man, these guys, a man can make money here. And listen, If the pastor is anointed, even though foolish, you know, it can happen. You can be very anointed. Then God leaves a bit of foolishness with you for certain reasons. So he lays hands on, he says, all of you, go out and lay hands on the sick. A sinner will go out, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And that will confuse him to think he too has power. There are many people like that that have started their own branches. Because is Saul also amongst the prophets? They hung around where the word of God was coming forth. Something stuck to their clothes. Then one day they went out, mistakenly laid hands on somebody. He got well. He said, wow, you mean I too can do this thing? That day I was preaching, I said to people, listen, that Jesus had 12 disciples. Let us assume the disciples of Jesus were Christians. Now, I don't want us to get into the hair-splitting theology of were there Christians before Jesus died or were there no Christians? Let us forget that. All right. Let us assume that if you're a follower of Christ, either before he died or after, you're a Christian. Are we okay? Yes. You understood that? Yes. If you understood, say amen.
Amen.
All right, good. Judas was never a Christian. Now, you know, we have understood now that Peter was, James was, Andrew was, Philip was, all those other boys, they were. But of those 12, Judas was not a Christian. I am certain of it. I'm not guessing. Why do I know? Or how do I know? Because Jesus said, I chose you 12, but one of you is a devil. He would not have called him a devil if he was a Christian in the way that Peter and Co. were. Yet, when he sent all of them out, they all cast out demons. They all healed the sick. When he sent them out two by two, they were all doing those things. And he said all the while, this boy is not one of us. One day they poured oil on Jesus Christ. They poured perfume on him, I wanted to say. And Judas said, wow, that's a lot of money. Why are you wasting this? After all, we could have sold. Now, listen, in today's wages, that bottle of perfume, now, in Nigeria of today, 2013, that bottle of perfume was worth about, you said 300 denarii, right? Okay, one denarius was a worker's wage for one day. If you go out, go and hire daily labor in Nigeria today, you pay them around 1,005. That's how I calculated it. So this woman took that bottle, wham, and poured. Oh God. Judas was alarmed. What's going on here? Now, what I'm talking about is that when he said that, you know, Jesus pinched John and said, don't mind him. The guy was hoping we'll sell this, put in the offering basket, and he will send 15,000 home to go and complete the house, you know, buy cement. He was building house in the village when they were in ministry. Stealing from Jesus, his purse, I'm telling you the truth. What is my summary? That Judas was not in that ministry to know God. He was there for what he will get. And that is why it irritates me till today when we preach to Christians that this is a formula for getting what you want. Listen, Christianity is about losing all you have for the knowledge of God. Nobody's offering you anything. You can come to church rich, physically speaking, counting in naira, counting in dollars. After a few years, you don't have anything like that anymore. It is possible. And doesn't mean you sin. It just means that you have relocated your attitude towards life in a different direction. It's very possible. Don't ever forget that. It's not every time you come to church, God makes you financially prosperous. Sometimes you came financially prosperous, he removes the money. He said, now you will be rich truly. Before you were rich outwardly. That gospel, blessed are the poor, is not a lie. He said to them at the time, sell all you have and give to the poor. All meant what? What did he mean? That by the time you finish, you don't have money anymore. You don't have a car. You don't have a business. Because he said, now come and follow me. The wage. Peter,
James, uncle, the way they followed him and left all the fish. That's what they were saying.